If you're a maintenance supervisor for a commercial property, you've had to deal with everything from leaky faucets to flickering light bulbs. But nothing's worse than that ancient boiler that's lived in the building since the day it was built, 50 years ago. It's enough to make anyone lose their cool. That's where Grainger comes in. With industrial-grade products and dependable fast delivery, Grainger can help with any challenge, from worn-out components to everyday necessities. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 27th day of February. One day to go
yes.
this month.
Mm-hmm.
And indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance movement. And tonight we have on the board, our producer is none other than Style.
Hey, good evening, Pastor.
Good evening. And here in the studio, we have the classes formed. We have the round table there. So from right to right, because there is no left allowed or tolerated in here for any reason, right?
Right.
That's right.
DEI is DEAD in here.
Yes.
Right? Okay. And so... You heard, starting from the right, that's the Elder Barkley.
Good evening. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen. I don't know, Richard, I think we're the elders here.
No.
Okay. And then we have, you heard it, the walking, talking Fona Lisa.
Good evening, everyone.
Alrighty. And then we have the pastor, Richard Lewis.
Welcome, everyone. Glad to be here.
All right. We're going to get right into it and, we were talking about this message was the devices used by the devil, that beware the devil's devices. And tonight we're going to pick it up in Matthew chapter 10, starting verses 32 through 42. So, Richard, would you read verses 32 through 37 and then Elder Barkley, 38 through 42?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me.
And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward.
Okay, very good. Let's go back to verse 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. Now, there's a big, big difference between confessing or denying. So people will often deny the Lord, maybe not willingly, but when they refuse to speak up, mm-hmm. when there are people that are, when the Democrats who have been really recently, boy, all last week they're out now, you know, they were dropping the F-bomb, and now all of a sudden they're all taking the Lord's name in vain. I mean, they're mm-hmm. just out there yelling the Lord's name in vain. It's like, we can do this, right? But now here, so how do we confess the Lord Jesus? We do that here every night. But when we confess that Jesus is not only the Son of God, but God the Son, and mm-hmm. and he's the only way to the Father is through the Lord Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here now, Joel Osteen said that there's, that if your God's a good God, he can get you to heaven.
I don't know what God he worships, so.
Yeah, I do. It's called Mammon.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Mammon. Yeah, but here, again, there's one way to the Father, and that's through the Son, right?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yes.
I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's right.
Okay. Now, here, when people are denying the Lord Jesus, remember when they had that Wall Street protest, they were carrying placards that said, when Christ returns, we'll kill him again, okay?
That chance.
Rude awakening there, aren't
yeah.
you?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, was that really a stupid thing to do?
Yes.
Yeah, it was. Because in actuality, they didn't kill him the first time. He laid down his life.
Right. But so when people are denying Christ openly, do we have... See, now the prissy preachers would tell you, well, just forgive them and go your way. Is that what we're supposed to do, or are we supposed to refute, rebuke, and reprove?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
right.
That's right.
Rebuke okay. and reprove.
But if you refuse to refute, rebuke, and refuse, is that a denial?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So now he says, but whosoever shall deny me before men, him also I will deny before my Father, which is in heaven. And so is a lack of witnessing a form of denial?
Yes.
I think so, sure.
Okay, I mean, Matthew 28 tells us 18 and 19 to go out where we are to. That's not a suggestion, is it?
No
yeah. way.
Okay, so now here we go. I think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I come not to send peace, but a sword. Ah, boy, people say, whoa, wait a minute now. That's contrary to it, because he said it's not his will that any should come short of the glory, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how is that contrary here? What, I mean, he's making a statement. How is it that he has come to send a sword? Does the Lord Jesus himself, does he come and... to stir up, to turn one against the other? Is that its purpose? Or is that happening because of those that receive him and those that deny him? Are people doing that to themselves?
Yes.
Yeah, no one, God doesn't send anyone to hell. They send themselves to hell.
Mm-hmm.
So when he says, for I've come to set a man at variance against his father and his daughter against her mother and the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Boy, do we have that in America, don't we?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he said, my sheep, they hear my voice. And you also have the situation where you have people walking in darkness that don't want to come to the light. So you're going to have that dichotomy, if you would, that's going on.
And so, and that is, how many times have you heard, well, we'll come to Thanksgiving dinner as long as we don't discuss religion. I don't want to hear about, okay? Or we'll come over for the Christmas dinner, but I don't want to discuss religion. See, the Christmas, that day commemorates something, doesn't it? Christmas Day?
Yes.
Isn't that a celebration of an event? Right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You would think so, right?
Mm-hmm. And these verses really show that what we need to do is put Christ above all the family or whoever else, the biological people in our lives that are close to, as far as kin goes, doesn't hold a candle to Jesus Christ, and our love for the brethren, which are, who's our brother and sister, is the believers.
Well, absolutely. And so, and he says, and a man's foe shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, let me ask you this. When he hung in our place a substitutionary death on that cross, who was he esteeming higher? Was he esteeming us higher or himself higher?
Us. Yes.
He would die for one person.
Mm-hmm. So now he's telling us that he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me.
Mm-hmm.
He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So now, when you accept him, when you say the sinner's prayer and you ask the Lord into your life, does he have to be number one before everything else, right?
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah, it really goes back to the first commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, your soul, and your mind.
Okay, and so then he says, and he that taketh not the cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. So what does he mean by taketh up his cross? Are we supposed to be carrying a cross around?
No.
What does he mean? He's taking up your cross. Is he talking about the fact that we will stand for him even if it causes persecution, that we don't deny him? In other words, what that is complete compliance and obedience to his word, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Romans chapter 12, verse 1, our bodies are to be used for what?
Living sacrifice.
Okay, no. Oh. It's our bodies are to be used. What kind of service is that?
Well, I thought you were talking about present your body's living sacrifice.
Yeah, but. And so we are to be, because that's our least, you know, that we can do is present our bodies a living sacrifice, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
And so for him, in other words, so
taking up our cross is going to be whatever befalls us, whatever troubles, we're going to trudge on and work towards do the things of the Lord. And if it costs us, it costs us all the way to our lives.
So if we're out there on the streets and we're preaching Jesus and we're told to quit preaching Jesus, do we keep preaching Jesus?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Are we to obey man?
Yeah, or to obey God. That's right.
Right.
That's right.
Go ahead. Right.
Yes. Yep.
So we've learned how to do the prison and jail ministry from both sides of the bars, haven't we?
Yeah, we sure have.
Yeah, okay. And so, he that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loveth his life more than my sake shall lose it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He receiveth the prophet in the name of a prophet, and receiveth the prophet's reward. He that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. So isn't he, when he's referring to the prophet, who's a prophet? Do we have prophets today?
We have prophets in the sense of prophesying the word from the written word we have. We don't have new prophecy, yeah.
We have foretellers and foretellers today. So, and then what about a righteous man? Who's a righteous man?
Someone that's keeping the word of God.
Okay. All right. You're right. Someone that's in obedience to God's word, huh?
Amen.
Yes. And whosoever should give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I shall say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. So he's going back to talking about the children there, huh?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yes.
And so...
Well, and you could even stretch it a little bit when he says little ones. It's talking about sometimes these very weak people in the Word.
Is that what he refers to sometimes over, well, in Matthew chapter 25, when he refers to, he's actually talking about those that'll sit on his left and those that'll be on his right hands.
Mm-hmm.
And but when he referred to also prior to that, when he's talking about the nation of Israel, and he refers to them as the least of my brethren, the least of my brethren.
Mm.
Okay, so let's go now to now the smartphones and laptops, like guns or money or fire, have no intrinsic value. You know, this when I say they have no intrinsic value, like that smart aleck phone right there, like mm-hmm. the one you have there. Money, firearms, in other words, of itself, is there any value in itself? I mean, if I that phone, it may be different because this phone calls people on its own. Okay,
yes, it does.
We've seen that happening, and that's happened more than once. It is. It's a strange, strange thing.
Yeah,
so they can be used for good or they can be used for evil. Mm-hmm. The computer's good or evil. Fire for good, it can warm us or it can destroy us, right?
Yes.
The same thing, money. Money can be used for good, do a lot of good with money, or do a lot of evil with money, huh?
Mm-hmm.
So it has no intrinsic value of itself, but here, when we're seeing these are today devices. This is what the devil's talking about, the devil's devices. Let's turn over to Jeremiah 18 in verses 11 and 12. Whoever finds it, go ahead and read it. 11 and 12.
Now therefore go to, speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you and devise to divide against you. Return ye now every one from his evil way and make your ways and your doings good. And they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will every one do the imagination of his own evil heart.
Okay, so here now, God has said Jeremiah over there to preach judgment to the men of Israel. Now he tells Jeremiah when you go in there, you know, Jeremiah, they're not going to like to hear what you have to say.
Mm-hmm.
And because they're not going to like to hear what you have to say, they're going to turn against you. And but don't worry about it. I'm going to deliver you. I'll deliver you from all of this. Now, Jeremiah, he was called the weeping prophet. How come?
Well, he was weeping for Jerusalem, Israel, mm-hmm. for the sins, for their sins. He had tremendous compassion on that. That's when he wrote even Lamentations.
Well, that's true. That's what. But he also had Jeremiah. He had a tough ministry. He ended up in stocks half the time. People throwing things at his head.
Yes.
One time they took him and they put him in a dry well, which was filled with mud, and he sunk down up to his neck in mud in a dry well. In fact, he was praying, and he was asking God that had he had never been born, you know, had he died in his mother's womb, and his mother to always be his grave, okay?
Wow. Yeah, sounds like Job even.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. But so Jeremiah, and God kind of told him, play the man, cut it up, you know, quit complaining, right?
And, yeah, step up. And
yeah, Jeremiah was, he had a very tough life, you know, and so, but what does he say when he said, he died in my mother's womb, and my mother would have always been my grave. What does that say for these women that have their babies killed in their womb?
Yeah,
that it's a living it's a living being.
Yeah,
that soul is a living being.
But it says that the mother becomes the grave, a walking coffin, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, shouldn't that be preached more? Shouldn't these women be more aware of that?
Yeah.
You would think so, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And so
you don't want to offend somebody, do you?
I've been accused of that.
Oh my goodness!
Yes. Let's go over to James chapter 1. And in James chapter 1, verses 12-18.
Okay.
Whoever, go ahead and read it, whoever finds it. James 1, 12-18.
Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures.
Okay, for he goes on to say, for the sun is no sooner arisen when a burning, oh no, I started verse 12, I'm sorry. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation.
Mm-hmm.
For when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life. Okay? So, the crown of life over there in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, it refers to what? Those that were persecuted. Those that are persecuted for the Lord's sake receive the crown of life. Here now, he goes on and he says that every man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed.
Mm-hmm.
We missed one here. Let no man say that when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted to any man. Now, mm-hmm. Here it says that God cannot be tempted, yet I hear people preaching how that Jesus was tempted like every man. He was tempted by Satan in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
And that had he sinned, it had been all over for us, okay? First of all, could God be tempted with sin?
No.
So, I mean, he either was or he wasn't. Now, Satan attempted to tempt him, but the question was, at any point, was he tempted at any point?
No.
Okay, so we're going to have to stop right there, and we'll be back right after this.
When the British armies came from across the bounding main to attack our native shores in their sailing ships of war to establish tyranny by the orders of a tyrant king, Paul Revere cried his alarms and the people took up arms and they fired up their guns in the greens of Lexington. Soon the battles would be won and the bells of liberty would ring. Those men who fought to keep us free were not afraid to die. They drew their strength and courage from his power upon high and cried this battle cry, no king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Messiah. No king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Holy One of Israel, the Holy One of Israel. Through the toil and the tears in the last 100 years, we have fainted from the fight for his liberty and life. We've been blinded by the lies, so we hardly know what's right from wrong. As the anti-Christian hordes and the global overlords now surround us, holy saints in the camp United States, just like Israel of old, we now find ourselves in Babylon. So now's the time for all good men to seek his face on high and bow to do his will on earth and rise up and defy the lie and cry this battle cry. No king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Messiah. No king but King Jesus, the Holy One of Israel, the Holy One of Israel. So now's the time for all good men to seek his face on high and bow to do his will on earth and rise up and defy the lie and cry this battle cry. No king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Messiah. No king, no king, no king but Yehoshua, the Holy One of Israel, the Holy One of Israel, the Holy One of Israel.
Alrighty, we are back. You know, Richard, there's a bit of a problem out there today, you know, when it comes to no king but King Jesus. I supported Donald Trump, and I think in my lifetime, Donald Trump's probably one of the best presidents ever.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I go back to for a bunch of them now. But Donald Trump is, he is a man, and there, I'm a little concerned about some people that have got to the point where, I mean, I've seen some where it seems like that they almost worship Donald Trump, and that's a dangerous thing, huh?
Yeah, it is. We can respect someone for doing their job and respect. I think Donald Trump is doing a lot of good things for the country, and that's and I think part of that comparison is when we had such bad management during the Biden administration, this is such a contrast that it looks fantastic, but we never should worship any man. We only should worship God. You know, that's when we talk about the salvation experience, and we always do that at the end of the program, but when we talk about that, a lot of people want a Savior, save me from my sins, but they don't want a Lord of their life.
You're absolutely right. I'm most concerned. I've noticed this seems to be amongst younger people, there's a tendency to go a little bit overboard, and especially the young women. But well, anyhow.
Well, it's a good point to bring up because we need to guard against that with anybody, you know, no matter who they are, and even not only political figures but religious figures.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Okay, yeah. Well, not just that, but I remember where, you know, there was a time when, you had some of these young women praying to Elvis. And you know, in the same thing, it was like Elvis and the Beatles. And this is idol worship. That's idol worship.
And yeah. Yeah, and I've heard people say about pastors, you know, certain some of these big-time pastors. Oh, I go to that church because of pastors, you know, that pastor or this pastor. We can't, you know, we can respect their knowledge if they are proper, but at the same time, we need to lift up Christ to the world, not people.
Absolutely. We got to be very careful because by showing too much reverence to a man, that is showing disreverence to God, huh?
Yes, yeah.
Now, he's no rock style, no rock star, but and he's no young person. He's old like you and I, Richard. Bill Wild. Hey, Bill.
Hey, how are you doing, Pastor?
We're doing okay. How are you?
Oh, my gosh, fantastic. I love the subject there. You know, it's learning to try to be as trustworthy as possible, but I tell people all the time, don't trust me, and plus, I'm not Jesus, you know?
Yeah.
It's crazy how, though, you really do see that.
Well, really, you know, often, you know, people will say such things like, you certainly must have a lot of crowns in heaven, you know, and I'm thinking all the time whenever that, give glory to God, okay? Mm-hmm. He says it belongs to him anyhow, right? Mm-hmm. So give the glory to God and you know. But anyhow, you've got something coming up tomorrow, no, Saturday night, don't you, at the Statical Civics?
Yes, we actually have a series, a course, that is on the new book that they wrote called Now When We Rise. And we're going to start at 6:30 at Ransom Sage Farm, which is in Chardon, 505 Center Street. And we're going to play a video, and then we have a bunch of discussion questions. And it's kind of like an 11-week course. I think we're going to shorten it up to about 5 or 6 weeks. A few people will show up, and we're going to talk and learn about how we're actually supposed to enforce our U.S. Constitution. And it's put on by Jeff Calhoun, who's a pastor. And he really ties it well together with how, you know, our Constitution was formed based on the Bible.
Absolutely, it was.
I'm so excited about something.
Absolutely. Now is the time, because the mood is right in America. Because taking it back, little by little, to for the people, government of the people, by the people, for the people, and it's time we take back control, of the militia. Mm-hmm. Our Constitution tells us that we need a well-armed militia, right? Well-regulated. Yeah. We need that because we've seen what happens. Boy, if anything, the Biden regime tells us how much we cannot trust government, how government gets out of control. We saw how it was lawfare, how the judicial system, how the intelligence agencies, how they were set against us.
That's amazing, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and so now
amazing
that's
what we've been through.
Well, even now, even right now, you have FBI agents are tearing up and destroying files and that, those that were left behind. The left behinds are out there working. We're going to get into that here in a few minutes. Even right now, that's going on. But so now is the time for America to take back, okay, the militia and the grand juries. I mean, they should be just like it was supposed to be. The grand jury is supposed to be people of your peers, run by the people, not by corrupt. We've really had our fill with corrupt prosecutors, haven't we?
Oh, man. Corrupt judges? I mean, I think a lot of people don't realize that the only thing I've ever heard of this took out a judge. It's been a grand jury, a lawful grand jury, and investigate whatever, anything of public concern.
So, and that's what Tactical Civics is all about, and it's growing leaps and bounds. Every day it's growing till we have enough that we can go and make that. And we have the right people now in power that it's now or never for America to take our country back, one nation under God, okay, to stop the horrible abortion, murder, stop the pedophilia, stop the drugs, stop the whoredom that this country is pushing, that the corrupt Democratic Communist Party is pushing on America, the Antichrist. And we can do that, can't we?
Yeah, we can. We got, what, 46 months for sure to move? You know, I mean, it's a sense of urgency for sure. And we have the ability. We have the God-given right and ability to do it here in America. We can set a precedent for the rest of the world.
Not only do we have the ability, we have the charge. God's word, the Bible, makes it very clear, okay? We're to be salt and light, okay? We're to be the head, not the tail. And the Bible says the earth and the fullness thereof, like the heavens, belong to God. And we are what? We're heirs of the kingdom, are we not?
Yeah.
So not only do we have the right, we have the responsibility to take our country back, one nation under God.
That's a really, really good point. Really good point to remember. We've been so programmed to believe that we, you know, the devil is pretty good at his job of teaching us that we don't have that right, and yet we do. And that's a great, great point, Ernie. I appreciate you bringing that up again.
All right. Tell the folks again the address of that and the times and everything so that we can be out there.
It's 505 Sender Street in Chardon, Ohio. And it's the meeting will start at 6:30. It's called Ransom Sage Farm. There's no light at the driveway, but most people anywhere near here know where it's at. And if you actually go by the GPS to 505, you can see where it's at. It's real close to, right off of 44 and Highway 6, I believe. It's pretty close to it, too. It's actually an apple blueberry farm. So,
would you give a phone number where people can call, say they get out that way and they're lost? Is there a number they can call and say?
They can call me, yeah, for sure. My number is 907-723-9839. I would love to get a bunch of people there to learn together. That's just really what it boils down to. I'm learning too. You know, I'm always learning, and I'd love the idea of having a group of people that are learning together. It's actually a blast. And then later in the month, on March 14th, and then on the 28th again, I'll be doing the intro meetings, two nights, Friday nights, at 7 o'clock at the same place. So, you know, if people want to actually learn what we do on a more of a specific basis, that's a great thing for them to come to, too.
All right, give your phone number real slow one more time so folks out there that are running around looking for a pen and a paper can write
you. Okay. It's 907-723-9839. And my name is Bill Wilds.
Or other words, Wild Bill, they call you. All righty.
Yeah, that's been thrown at me a few times.
I would imagine it has. All right, my friend. Well, God bless.
God bless you, and have a fantastic rest of your evening, and thanks for all you do, Ernie. I appreciate it.
And thank you. Man. Maybe I'll see you in church Sunday. Every now and then, I notice you there.
Yeah, I try to pop in as much as I can.
All righty.
For sure.
We'll be looking for you.
All right.
God bless.
All right.
All right. There you go. That was kind of like an esoteric message there.
I've seen him in church.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Yes.
He wants me. He's from Alaska, where he's got a home there and a home here.
Wow.
And he wants me to go up there with him. And I think I'm going to do that someday. I wanted to go to Alaska. I've been to most all the states, but I haven't been to Alaska or Hawaii.
You got your Eskimo boots?
Yeah.
Yeah, it might be fun.
Yeah, I heard it's very beautiful.
Yep. Alrighty. Well, we got something going on here. Anna Habit drops bombshell. Absolutely expects criminal charges after Epstein's files drop today after meeting with Cash Patel and Pam Bondi. Well, the long-awaited release of the Jeffrey Epstein files is set to ignite a political firestorm today, and Trump attorney Elena Habba is pulling no punches. An explosive interview with Piers Morgan Hoppe confirmed she met with Attorney General Pam Bondi and FBI Director Kaz Patel at the White House just hours ago, hinting that the bombshell documents packed with flight logs, names, and damning evidence are mere moments from hitting the public square. Now, for years, the Epstein scandal has been shrouded in secrecy with high-profile elites, mysteriously dodging accountability, while the only one individual, Epstein, longtime associate, Ghislaine Maxwell, was sentenced to prison. Despite the well-documented abuse of hundreds of victims, no powerful men have been held responsible. And that, Hoppe says, is about to change. Well, there's been over 250 victims, mostly all young girls, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, here's the thing. I have what has taken place here. This just broke out today. Attorney General Pam Bondi has directed FBI Director Kaz Patel to handle the seemingly rogue FBI field office in New York for repeatedly refusing to provide her with the full set of documents relating to the late billionaire predator Jeffrey Epstein. A letter from her office revealed Thursday here. Before you came into this office, I requested the full and complete files related to Jeffrey Epstein. In response to this request, I received approximately 200 pages of documents, which consistently primarily of flight logs, Epstein's list of contacts, and a list of victims' names and phone numbers. I repeatedly questioned whether this was the full set of documents responsible to my request, and was repeatedly assured that the FBI, that we have received a full set of documents. The Attorney General continued before reporting that she got a tip from a source in the FBI office that New York stating that the Bureau was withholding complete files, a lot of files. Mm-hmm. Late yesterday, I learned from sources that the FBI office in New York was in possession of thousands of pages of documents related to the investigation and the indictment of Epstein. Bondi wrote, despite my repeated request, the FBI never disclosed the existence of these files. Bondi noted that she had already spoken to Patel after receiving the tip on Wednesday evening, writing that the FBI director was just as surprised as I was to learn this new information. She then handed Patel two hard deadlines. By 8 a.m. tomorrow, February 28th, the FBI will deliver the full and complete Epstein files to my office, including all records, the documents, audio and video recordings and materials related to Jeffrey Epstein and his clients. Regardless of how such information is obtained, I am directing you to conduct an immediate investigation into why my order to the FBI was not followed, yet you will deliver to me a comprehensive report of your findings and propose personal action within 14 days. In her conclusions, Bondi added that she knows that Patel is committed to transparency for the American people. A Department of Justice source corroborated Bondi's claim that the FBI field office in New York withheld Epstein files in a statement to Real Clear Politics. The source was claimed that Bondi and Patel are 100% on the same page. Now, do you have an article, Lisa?
Yes, this is from the Gateway Pundit. It says, a longtime FBI whistleblower has come forward with a disturbing bombshell that the deep state is actively destroying evidence, government files that could link them to crimes against the American people. Former FBI agent Garrett O'Boyle on Monday told conservative activist and commentator Benny Johnson that FBI employees are working round the clock to delete evidence off the agency servers, even as reformers Kaz Patel and Dan Bongino have taken over. There are FBI servers which are sort of standalone. People inside the FBI have been working night and day to destroy files on these servers, he explained to Johnson. I was told that the way the files are destroyed, not even Elon Musk can restore them. That's happening right now as we speak. I'm sure there's information about Epstein and subversion against Americans. Boyle said he did not exactly know what the data was, but it's speculated it was related to Epstein's list and the FBI's subversive measures against Americans. Boyle later told independent journalist Michael Schellenberger the same information and explained that he had also informed Battelle. Representative Anna Paulina Luna, Republican in Florida, who called out Attorney General Pam Bondi for supposedly slow walk in the release of the Epstein and JFK files, replied by saying there needs to be a criminal investigation and that criminal penalties need to increase. Working on this as we speak, she added, and it says the files have to be incriminating if so many FBI workers are emulating crooked Hillary. Those hoping for the whole truth regarding JFK's assassination and Epstein's suspicious death may end up disappointed.
All right, so here, listen, we told you before, remember way back when this whole thing started, and I told you there's going to be a lot of hush money being paid off, okay? Mm-hmm. Because you have these people, you have Prince so-and-so, you have all these well-known people. We had one of our newsletters we sent out was a picture there at Epstein's Island. Bill Clinton, Epstein, and the Supreme Court Head Justice Roberts standing all up to their, you know, waist in water talking on Epstein's Island, okay? Trump, remember, going all the way back to 2000 when Trump said that island, stay away from that island, there's a lot of bad things going on there. That's one of the things that they're so, that the left, why they hated him. As he said, no, that's, I don't go there when he found out about it. And so at that point they considered him because the pedophilia within the Democratic Party is, it's massive. Mm. It's just massive, okay? It
makes you sick. Makes you absolutely sick.
Yeah. And so now, who are the ones that they were trying to protect? Remember Jim Comey? Now, he's going to be indicted.
Yeah.
Okay, they're going to go after him. Comey, and this guy, he did it to himself. He went on these talk shows mm-hmm. and admitted to breaking the law. And so here, thinking, you know, well, I'm safe. Merrick Garland, he's gonna protect me. He's gonna have my back because he knows if I go down, I'll take him with me, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. The corruption is just unbelievable within the Democratic Communist Party there. But now, and you know, they're not going to. All of his underlings, Comey's others, all those that were involved with him, they're not going to stand up and have his back. They're not going to do that. They're going to say we were working under orders, right? And so what's going to happen? Okay, Comey will be given because what he did. You know, you're talking major time, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
So Comey will be given an opportunity. Look. We want Hillary. Who does Trump really want?
Uh-huh.
Trump wants Hillary.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Trump wants Hillary. And so what are you going to hear? You're going to hear, well, we can possibly lighten your load a little bit, but you got to give us something. And now remember, Slick Willie was out. He was doing all the talk shows just before the election, saying if anyone should get pardoned, it should be Hillary, right? So here's Slick Willie saying that
he's saying she's guilty.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And so, but Hillary, as far as I know, didn't get a pardon because see the way that works. If you, first of all, you have to be indicted to get your pardon. You have to be indicted by a judge, a court. Then you have to go before that judge, and you have to plead guilty to the charges, and then you get pardoned. But at that point, you lose your Fifth Amendment. After that, you can no longer, you know,
claim Fifth Amendment.
Huh? Right.
Right. But now just think about this. What would Hillary have to plead guilty of?
Oh, my goodness.
Well, see, that would take a day or two.
Yeah, a lot of murders, I can tell you that.
So you would, remember, you would only get pardoned for what you pled guilty to, the crimes you pled guilty to. Mm. So that's going to be interesting. That's probably why Hillary didn't. As far as I know, those that are in the know, like Mary Garland and Chris Ray, and I know that he pardoned like 8,000 people. Now, all of those on the J6 committee, all of those treasonous people, all of them, they received a pardon. That what they did is they broke the law. What they did was exactly what they accused us of, insurrection. That was an insurrection by those people.
Yes.
And that's what they asked for their pardon. So they'll have to go before the court, each and every one of them, okay, and plead guilty to insurrection. So we'll see what happens there. But now, so the only thing that Trump will have to do, Comey, to save his own neck, will have to roll over on others. And the one they want the worst is Hillary, huh?
Yes.
Probably.
And do you think if he's talking between getting 40 years and 20 years or 40 years or 10 years, he's not going to roll over?
You know he will.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. No honor among thieves.
Right.
There is no honor among thieves.
Well,
right.
These Democrats they'll eat their own all the time. So,
yes.
Throw them under the bus.
Well, we'll see what happens there. Now, we're coming up to a break. When we come back from the break, boy, you know, I want you to turn to First Timothy chapter 4 and read me the very first five verses there as soon as we get back, because we're seeing that in these days, the later times, there's some things happening. When we come back from the break, the Pope is out there, and you folks out there listen to me. Forget about what the Catholic Church teaches, what the Presbyterians teaches, what the Methodists teach. Listen. Go to God's Word, the Bible, and you need the Bible, folks.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the King James Bible. Listen, you're in this time right now, okay? God is not a respecter of persons or denominations. We're close to it, aren't we? How much time do I have? Okay. Go to the Word of God. You have to. We're living in the times that we're going to read about here in just a minute. The later times, and the apostasy is greater, and you see all across the world, the National Council of Churches, the Catholic Church, the apostasy, the corruption is exactly the way that God's Word, the Bible, said it would be. We're living here now. And the Pope is, well, remember what he said. He said, humanly speaking, Christ failed at Calvary. The Pope said he didn't believe there was such a thing, place as hell. He said if we're going to have a one-world government, we have to have a one-world church. And now he's gone even farther than all of that. And we're going to be listening to him. And this is the people's voice, and they have been extremely accurate in their reporting. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away. More to come.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.